Okay, we are going to continue this morning considering what we've been looking at, habits of grace. And this morning, I want to consider, at least kind of briefly, you could spend a little bit more time with this than we're going to this morning, but I want to briefly consider prayer as a lifestyle, or the lifestyle of prayer. Last week, Jim opened with this, that we were saved by grace and the Christian life continues to be lived by grace. And it was mentioned that God calls himself, or is referred to in his word, as the fountain of living waters. And if you would, or if you could, I think it would be sort of fun in considering what we're looking at with these habits of grace and sort of basking in these things that God has given us. God being the fountain of life, you know, I picture these things as, and maybe you've always wanted to do this, like you kick your shoes off and you jump in the fountain. You know, where you avail yourself of what God has given, what he's made available. And as we get into this, and we get into some of these things regarding prayer, the undergirding thing that I want you to consider, and I will bring it up, is humility. We've brought humility up a number of times over the past several weeks. And when it comes to taking the word personal and accepting what the Word of God says, as opposed to what your flesh says, or opposed to what the world says, it requires humility. And I'm going to continue to bring this up because humility is one of those things, it's a concept that is not difficult to understand. But when it comes to the flesh, life, living, when it comes to being humid, when it comes to being in the heat of everyday decisions, of everyday circumstances, of the things with which we're confronted, it is most difficult to employ in your life. It really is. It really is. It doesn't have to be, though. Because by God's grace, we can learn. Sorry to yell there, but I wanted to get your attention. By God's grace, we can learn to have that kind of heart. You know, Jim shared last week about thankfulness. And what thankfulness means is that we tack thank you onto our prayer, right? Or I know. We come up with a list of things we're thankful for. That's what it means to be thankful. Right? No. It's a posture of the heart. It's something that is built in our heart. It's a perspective. It's how we see it. Well, what we're going to see is it's very similar with prayer. Very similar with prayer. It's a heart. It's a way of seeing. It's a lifestyle. It's what you do. It's who you are. A couple of weeks ago, we considered some things regarding private prayer. And private prayer, which is really a pursuit of God. It's that relational, a very important part of that relationship with God, should lead into prayer during the day. A lifestyle of prayer is it's born of a relationship with the Father who loves you beyond what you or I can really understand. I think the word is ginormous. I think that's what we heard a little earlier, right? a Father who is faithful and good. And in taking Scripture personally, we want to follow its leading. And here for our purposes, we want to follow its lead regarding prayer. I may bring this up again, and I think I said this a couple weeks ago, but our prayer life really is a revealer of the quality of our relationship with God. And not only is it the revealer of our relationship with God, it is also the prescription to fixing our relationship with God. I want to begin in Proverbs chapter 3. These are very familiar verses to all of you, I think. But I want to read these in light of what we're considering with the lifestyle of prayer. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, says, "Trust in the Lord with," and the next word is what?
All
your heart. "And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways." So we've got all your heart. All your ways. This is vital to understand as we continue. "Acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear or reverence the Lord, and turn away from evil." If I am wise in my own eyes, am I reverencing the Lord? No, I'm not. If I'm leaning to my own understanding and things that I'm pretty educated in, am I trusting in God? These are hard questions, aren't they? They really are. Verse 8 says, "It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Now I want to read another scripture that you're familiar with. We're just going to read one verse from this section. And it's in John chapter 15, verse 5. Okay? Familiar verse. And in this verse, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. And when you really flesh this out, it is anything of any worth. Without him, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, either Jesus is telling the truth here, or he's not. Do you see what I was alluding to earlier? How these things, they're understandable. I understand the words. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. Outside of him, I can do nothing. But moment by moment in my life, do I really believe that? Really? Or am I leaning to my own understanding because I know this? I've done it. It's a hard question, isn't it? He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. What Jesus is teaching here is what we're able to do apart from him, which is nothing. Without divine help, we are helpless. When we look to ourselves, we can do nothing. All of our efforts towards self-help, towards self-improvement, are for nothing outside of Him. They may have a veneer of progress. They may deceive you or me into thinking that I am making progress, that I am improving. But outside of Jesus, I am not. It's about who? It's about self, isn't it? That's what self-help is. It's about self. So while they have may have a veneer or an appearance of progress, when the trial comes or the winds blow, that's when it's really put to the test. And that's when it's going to be clear, or it's going to come into focus, what it is I've centered my heart on. It's at those times. In essence, it's this realization that is, or at least makes up a good part of what humility is. And it's the realization that outside of Him, I can do nothing. Our need for God's grace and power is not partial. It's total. It's total. Remember what we read in Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. In all your ways. Is that partial or is that total? It's total. When we consider these things and really read what it is that God's instructing us to do here, the laying down of self starts to come into focus, doesn't it? So our need for God's grace and power is not partial, it's total. Humility requires a denial of self rather than a reliance on self. Now here's a question. And I'm going to ask a couple more during the course of this. What part of our lives do we not need God's wisdom and grace? Raise your hand if you can think of one.
After all that, no way.
Yeah. But it's a good question, isn't it? What part of my life do I not need God's wisdom and grace where I've just got it down? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to spend a little bit of time with this verse. Verse 18. And it reads, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, I hope that our need for prayer is, if it wasn't before, is starting to come into focus. But one thing that helps is to realize that prayer held a vital place in the life of Jesus Christ. He deemed it critical, and he made time for it. You guys are familiar with some of these verses, but for example, in Mark chapter 1, and a great while before day, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place to pray. It was important enough to attend to early in the morning before the demands of the day would begin to vie for his attention and time. Huh. In Matthew chapter 26, and I wanted to touch on this anyway, Jesus Christ knew that he was born to die. He knew his end and what it was he was to do. And yet, when the time came, the evening before he was taken, he prayed. He knew this is where he was destined. He knew this is what was required. And yet, he went to the Father in prayer. Matthew 26, verse 39 reads, "And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Now, even though he knew he was destined for the cross, he prayed. And his prayer really is summed up beautifully in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to read verse 7 of that record in Hebrews chapter 5. And it reads, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication, requests, with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death." Was able to save him from death. "And he was heard because of his reverence." Because of his reverence. His prayer was heard. God heard his prayer. And his prayer was answered. And the one that, and I'm reiterating these things that we just read, because I want you to put yourself in these in this scenario. And he was praying to the God who could deliver him from death. Was there any question about that? No. Did God deliver him from death? No. He didn't. Was he able to? Yep. Did he? Nope. He didn't. But his prayer was answered. He was heard because of his reverence. What was the answer? It's a great question, isn't it? The answer was this. It was strength. And it was the ability to carry out God's will, which was part of his prayer. Not my will, your will. And God enabled him to then carry out his will. And thank God he did that. Thank God he didn't deliver him from death. Otherwise, you and I would not be here today. Let's see. This isn't too dissimilar to Paul. When Paul in 2 Corinthians was being besieged constantly by the adversary, by the thorn in the flesh, constantly. And he prayed three times, "Please remove this. Please get rid of this. Please, I've been through enough." And the answer was it to remove the thorn in the flesh? No. No. It was to strengthen him so that he could continue. My grace is what? Sufficient for thee. Jim read a verse last week. Might have read it last year too, but at least last week, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace that is beyond understanding shall keep or guard your hearts. See? The answer may simply, at that moment, be peace in knowing that you have communed with your God. You know, I think of the record. Oh, you guys, if you ever get a chance, it's in 1 Samuel. But it's the record of Hannah when she goes and prays. She had was childless. She was being mocked by one of the other wives who had children. And she was without child. She would have been looked at with scorn. She was made fun of. And she prayed. She went to the tent and prayed. And she prayed to God. And she made a vow. She said, if you will give me child, I will raise that child and then I will give him to you. And it says she left and her countenance was changed. Isn't that something? Because she had poured her heart out to God. And you know what God did? He answered that prayer. We got Samuel out of the deal. One of the greatest prophets who ever lived. See? Isn't that something? Here's another question. Was prayer only a necessity for Jesus while it's optional for you and I? Write that down. See. We are encouraged over and over to pray in the Word. I'm just going to read a few verses here. And this is in light of praying at all times in the Spirit. You know, one way to handle this praying at all times in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. I believe there's much more to it than that. Praying in the Spirit is praying by way of Holy Spirit. There are times, and many of you have experienced, where it was simply on your heart to pray for somebody. Have you ever had that happen? Mm-hmm. I have. I've had it happen in the middle of the night where I'm woke up and I just need to pray for somebody, and I do. And sometimes I never know why. Every once in a while, and by God's grace, I get a little insight. I'll hear from that person. See? Isn't that beautiful? But it's praying, and it's praying at all times in the Spirit. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Constant. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Being watchful in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to begin in verse 16, reads, rejoice always. It's one of the shorter verses in the Bible. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Praying without ceasing is the posture of a truly humble heart. Just as giving thanks in all things is the posture of a truly thankful heart. Now, at first blush, you read this and think, how can I do that? How do I pray at all times? How do I pray without ceasing? We're not being asked here to drop everything we're doing and go into a formal prayer. Rather, it is referring to that heart or that lifestyle or that posture of prayer. The type of prayer that only rings out in your heart. It's prayer that is a simple encounter with God. It's an sometimes unspoken. It's just simply unspoken. It's between you and the Father. as you're facing your day, you're preparing to make a call. Father, thank you for this. You know, or you need to make a decision. I don't know what to do. It's a constant awareness of His presence, of His working in you. And it's the humility to recognize that I don't know what to do, that I may be wrong, that what I think may be wrong. God has better insight, more insight, greater insight. Sometimes I go with what's on my heart, but I have involved my God. Other times, He stops me in my tracks. See? Isn't that something? But it's a constant posture of prayer. Let me ask you this. We speak in terms of finding time to pray. What time is a good time to not pray? Isn't that something? It's incredible how we have things so turned around. I need to fit prayer in my schedule. How about fitting my schedule around my prayer? What's more lasting? That's an honest question, isn't it? You know, these things may seem out of reach, but they're not, because of Holy Spirit, because of God's grace. God would never encourage us to do something that we were not able to do. He doesn't tease us. He doesn't frustrate us. He would never do that. It's an acute awareness of God's presence with you. Like I said, it may be spoken or unspoken, but it's prayer nonetheless. It's basically an encounter with your Heavenly Father. That's the posture of our hearts, unceasingly throughout the myriad of encounters and circumstances we find ourselves in on any given day. And then it says in this verse, with all prayer and supplication, all kinds of prayer and requests. You know, there is prayer where we cry out in desperation from darkness or from grief. We truly don't know what to do. You know, we're at a wall. Sometimes we pray just because we're so thrilled at something, or we've seen God work, or we've seen a deliverance that we perhaps even doubted at times whether or not it would happen. And then it happens. And it's like, oh, I'm such an idiot. See? There's those kinds of prayers. There are prayers where we just point out how wonderful God is or how thankful we are. There are prayers where we make requests. You know, help me to understand this, Father. Help me to see this. Sometimes prayer is just a reassurance to my own heart. Just a simple, Father, I know you're with me. What about those days I just don't feel like praying? You know what I should do?
Pray.
Exactly. Or the days I don't feel like reading God's word. Read God's word. Because the flesh, I promise you, will supply days like that. The world will encourage days like that. And Satan wants you to believe that days like that are just fine. I want to share briefly here, in light of this many kinds of prayer, in an acronym that may be helpful. Jim shared last week, which is great, and I've often done this and do this, you know, Psalm 100 as sort of an outline of prayer. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. But there's an acronym that may be helpful to remember different types of prayer. And it's simply the word ACTS. A-C-T-S. A is for adoration. It's where you recognize and simply bask and think about and reflect on His greatness, for what He's done, for what He's doing, for simply who He is. There are many, many reasons to praise God. I praise God every day and thank Him for calling me into the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine life without that. I can't fathom it. What a bummer that would be. A, adoration. C, confession. And I think this is really important. Confession, rather than being something that's triggered by a particular sin or shortcoming, it's the acknowledgement from the heart that without God's mercy, without God's grace, I am absolutely and simply condemned. It's not the bearing of the burden and the weight of sin's guilt. Rather, it's the heart acknowledgement of my utter helplessness outside of Jesus Christ, outside of God's grace and mercy. See, outside of God, I would be in complete and utter bondage to sin. I would be a slave to sin. But because of Jesus Christ and because of God's grace, even though I sin, I am not slave to it. I'm not in bondage to it. I'm not run by it. It's not my king. Do you understand? And I can be delivered from it more and more as I continue to grow in my relationship, my dependence, my humility, and all of these things with God. And all of that will be reflected in my prayer life as time goes. T is for thanksgiving. Jim handled that beautifully last week. The real test to this is when there doesn't appear to be much to be thankful for. To be thankful in everything is going to take some big picture thinking. Remember last week, Jim shared how that unthankfulness is small thinking. Thankfulness from the heart requires big picture thinking. See, Satan endeavors to get us and deceive us into putting way too much stock in this life. Way too much stock in the temporal. Way too much weight on those things that aren't going to last. That's small thinking. So when my thinking is all about this temporal time, this problem I'm having, all of a sudden is really big. But when I'm thinking in terms of eternity, being with my Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that life hasn't even begun yet, and really, you begin to understand and see that the purpose for this life is to grow and to become more and more Christ-like, earning rewards for that time that will be for all eternity. That's a sober thought, isn't it? That's a sober thought. See? And then S is for supplication, meaning requests. And we're encouraged to make our request known unto God. He knows what we have need of before we ask. Matthew 6. And yet we're instructed, we keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, according to Matthew 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, we cast our cares to Him because He what? He cares for us. See? And in James, every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights. We're communicating with the Father who will never leave us or forsake us, the God of all comfort and grace. And then it says in that verse in Ephesians chapter 6, keep alert with all perseverance. We tend to lack endurance or become tired. We also tend to be easily distracted. Jesus Christ taught in Luke 18 the parable of the widow woman, that they ought always to pray. The purpose of the parable was that they ought always to pray and not lose heart, because God is just. This keep alert with all perseverance, it really echoes Jesus' instructions to His disciples the night He prayed in the garden before He was taken, which we read in Matthew 26. But prior to that, He said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay? That you enter not into temptation. We live in the midst of an ongoing spiritual battle. And on this battleground, what is being revealed here is that prayer isn't simply an option. It's absolutely necessary. The real question is not whether or not we have time to pray. The real question is, can we afford not to pray? When Jesus instructed His men, pray that you enter not into temptation, He was aware of the battle that's going on, of the battle that we're in the midst of, like it or not. In persevering, we need to be content in trusting God that He is faithful and just. Even if we don't see the answer right now, we persevere. We keep going to God because He's faithful. He's just. We see it in His Word, and we've all seen it in our lives. Satan would love to convince us that prayer is not important and that God doesn't really listen and doesn't really care. Again, our prayer life is a revealer of the quality of our relationship with God. It is also the prescription for establishing a relationship with God. Carrying prayer into the day or praying without ceasing is part of the illustration of what humility looks like. It's a love of, or it's not, a love of reliance, or a love and reliance on self with prayer like this, with going to Father. That love and reliance on self transforms into a love for God and a reliance on God and a love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? It just transforms into that. That's what it does. And I want to close with this section in Acts chapter 4. Very briefly, it's really beautiful because you see where these men were at. They had been imprisoned. They had healed a man. They had been threatened. They had been beaten unfairly, unjustly, by men who were ignorant, ignorant of truth, ignorant of Jesus Christ, ignorant of God. And when they were released from prison, they went, it says in verse 23 of Acts 4, to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, this is beautiful, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. This is from Psalms. They are praying God's word. For truly, verse 27, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Were they about self? No. Something Jim said last week is, you know, our prayers become more along the lines of, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, rather than our prayers simply being a shopping list. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Isn't that something? That kind of prayer and that kind of results to a faithful God, to a faithful Father. Prayer should be a vital, vital part of our walks, part of our days. And I think that too many times we relegate it to another thing. And I think that we lose much by approaching prayer with that kind of attitude, with that kind of thinking. I think we lose out on seeing God's grace really blossom in our life and in our walk. I know I'm going a little long here this morning, but I really want to get this across. And what a big deal this is to our own lives. And when we pray, we are praying to a Father who listens, who hears. We can go to many records in the Word that display that and show that. But isn't that wonderful? You're not just praying for yourself. This isn't a psychological trick. This is real. It's a real conversation with a real God. See? Who really loves you. Who really cares for you. That's what this is. So, amen?